We're on Daf Ayin Hey Omid Beis. On the bottom, the Mishnah, the new Perek. Hasocher Es Ha'umnin, the sixth Perek. This Perek is dedicated to the study of Bali Malach, those who work, whether he's a day worker, whether he's a Kablan, and he works per job, he gets paid for the entire job. And what happens if the workers decide to quit before they finish the day, they finish the job, or perhaps in the flip side, perhaps the employer, the Baal Bayis, decides to fire them and terminate the contract, the relationship. We're going to talk later on in the Perek about Socher Behema. And he wants to change the conditions of the original Schirus. We're going to talk Mirtz Hashem at the end of the Perek about the four Shomrim and all the laws of Shomrim. And as far as the Schir Yom, a day worker, is concerned, he's being paid for every single malach that he does during the course of the day, and he's basically paid per hour of labor. On the other hand, a kablan is paid for the job as a whole, and when he completes that job, that's when he deserves, he has earned his wages. The Mishnah says, Hasocher es ha'umnim. And it's interesting, the word uman usually means some sort of professional. You know, he has a training and he has experience. For example, a chayat, which is a tailor, a sandlan, is a shoemaker, and others of those sort. They apprentice until they become uman. The word poel, which we'll see in the next parak, is used for a person who works with his physical might, his physical koach. He's a wood chopper, he's a water carrier. Our Tana uses the language umnin, but the Tiferes Yisrael here, and the Mishnah points out that it's not limited to an uman. It would, the dinim that are presented and formulated here apply equally to paalim, to workers who work physical labor. Now, hitu vehitu zed zed, the paalim. Either, again, the language of the Mishnah is unclear, either they misled one another, so here's one poel that's mata, another poel, or alternatively, the poelim they resigned from their work, or the Baal Bayis decided to fire them, and all this takes place, as the Tiferes Yisrael points out, before the workers have started their work. And the explanation for the next part of the Mishnah, Ein Lahem Ze Al Ze Elitaromes, is to a large extent connected to what we discussed just now, and that is that the Mishnah says ze al ze el taromes. It doesn't say yesh lehem taromes, which would be in a shorter language, because the Mishnah wants to clarify that there's no chiyuv to pay money. And what that means is, meaning, according to the Pharisee Yisrael, had the lashon of the Mishnah been yesh lehem taromes in the positive, you might have drawn the conclusion that there is some sort of chiv mamon here, maybe a chiv lotzei sidei shamayim, but ein lahem zelze el taromes means there's nothing else, there's no other chiv at all whatsoever, not even a chiv lotzei sidei shamayim. Now, what is the basis for this taromes, which sounds like an erev Yom Kippur halacha, you have to ask mechila? It's basically, according to the Ritva, at least one of two possibilities. Either it's assumed that there is a general, I don't know what word to use, chok here in the language of the Ritva, but we would call it some sort of ethical principle by which a particular society operates, and that is that you don't cheat someone in a way that you terminate your employee-employer relationship, you know, you quit in the middle of the day, you get fired in the middle of the day, that's not something acceptable. However, the Ritva gives another possibility as to why there's taromis in this case, and that is Shemakpidim Heim Al Shinui Das. The Kpeda here is on the fact that now things, you know, the mindset has to be totally changed. Instead of sitting there waiting for the work to be completed, there's got to be a proactive effort on behalf of the Balabayas to find substitute workers. The Ritva goes on to say that Habrios Yidabru She'ila Matzu Zebazeh, that there's also a possibility of another element in this equation, and that is, shall we say, a bad reputation. In other words, why was this worker fired mid-job? Why did this worker quit midway? And people who want to look for excuses to say bad things about someone, here's a golden opportunity coming their way. So these are all, shall we say, moral or ethical issues causing someone anguish in one form or another. And that's an Erev Yom Kippadika, you know, Bakoshis Mechila, that's necessary because of the Taromas. What exactly was the nature of this Chazora? Right? Was it that the Polim Chazru Bahem? Was it the Balbais who Chazru Bahem? No, they, the workers, quit, or the Balbais fired them? This is going to be the subject of the Sugya later on. And the fact that there's no monetary claim here in this case on either side, that applies when the chazara, meaning the termination of the relationship between the balabais and the poel, does not cause actual damage. For example, if let's say these poelim were fired and they had no other job opportunities at all whatsoever, so they didn't really suffer any loss. Or, for example, the balabais could easily replace these workers with other workers. However, in situations where there is a hefsed, either to the laborers, to the poelim, or to the balabais, that already comes under the next part of the Mishnah, which is called Davar Ha'avud. And it means that there's going to be some sort of monetary loss as a result of this quitting, in the case of that the poelim quit. And therefore, we're going to have to read on in the Mishnah and see exactly what din will apply in such a case. Let's go on. The Mishnah says, Sochar es ha-chamar. Chamar is a donkey driver. You know, he's in charge of what we call today in Hebrew, hovala. And he brings heavy burdens from one place to the other on the back of his donkey. V'es ha-kador. Kador, Rashi explains, is a wagon owner. And the Ritva and Tosfos have a slightly different approach here. And they have, instead of kador, they have a girs of karar, which means milosh and karon, that makes him the carriage driver. So although the girsa of Tosfos is different than that of our girsa, of Rashi's girsa, nevertheless, the principle seems to be identical. And according to Rashi's girsa, we would say that kador is a person, right, a person who drives the carriage. But the word kador could possibly have an entirely different meaning. Kador is a short form of kaderos, or kaderos, which are larger receptacles, and the kador is the individual who creates them, who manufactures them. But we believe that in our Mishnah, clearly the implication of kador is that this is a person who's driving a carriage. So we might have been hesitant to accept the gears that we have at Kador, because it might have a totally different meaning, as we said, someone who manufactures these jugs. Rashi says clearly that Kador here in our Mishnah is Baal Karon, and the advantage of Tosa's gears is Karar, because Karar is certainly the car driver, meaning the wagon driver. But everybody agrees, at the end of the day, we're talking about a wagon driver. And the Mishnah goes on to tell us what kind of merchandise they were hired to transport. Because if that merchandise is not transported immediately, urgently, then a loss will be sustained. Lahavi firyofarin, which Rashi explains, are eitzim mishupin, that means planed wood after you smooth it out, vinoim, lasos lo apiryon. Apiryon is that beautiful place where the kala would sit, and we needed this apiryon to be transported for the sake of the kala, and that's to be made out of these planks or planed wood. That's urgent. We cannot delay. We need it urgently. Another example of an urgent kind of work that has to be done is chalilim, and these kinds of flutes serve a double function. Two different usages. It's amazing how different they are, one from the other. One is lakala, in other words, part of the simcha of simchas kala. And the other is a mess. And Rashi adds the word lakonein, which means lakonein al mess. The kind of crying that they used to do and moaning at a funeral. This was all, in a sense, aroused by the chalilim. The chalilim played that role. So there were two things that went on at the time of burial. There was the hesped and there was the konein. And the konein was engendered by and embellished by chalilim. And the Mishnah says in Ksubas on Daf Mem Vav on Beis with regard to the chiyuvim of a Baal to his wife, that if she passes on and he now becomes responsible for the burial, afilu oni shebiyisrael lo yivchos mishnei chalilin umakonenos. There were professional mekonenos to wail and bring people to cry, and there were professionals who would play the flute, the chalil, a minimum of two of them. I'm wondering what would be the requirement of chalilim for a kala. Is it the same shnei chalilim? And maybe today, instead of the chalilim, at least in some Hasidic circles, they have the badchanim, the badchan. But obviously these uses of a chalil are absolutely time urgent. You know, we have the kala now, she's going out to the chuppah. We have the mess that's going to be buried. We need the chalil. And all of a sudden, the cab driver, you know, the carriage driver who's meant to bring these chalilim decides to go on strike. You know, he decides he's had it. He's quitting his job. So these are all examples of Dover Avod. Now the Mishnah goes on and gives other examples. V'chein, v'upalim, lahalos pishtono min ha-mishra. So they would take flax and they would soak it in water in order to soften it up. But you can't leave the flax in the water for too long of a time, because it begins to be miskalk, it begins to get ruined. And if these polim were hired to remove the flax from its soaking pond, That is a time urgent pe'ilus. Now, the word mishra here is milashon shriya, meaning to soak. And the linen, the flax was soaked in this water. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say, v'chol davar she'aved. Meaning now the Mishnah gives a more of a klal, after giving a number of examples, of hefseid mamon, like for example, to get the flax, the pishton out of its water, and then of course, to get the chalilim for the kal of the mess, these, which we said is meaningless after the chuppah, after the kvura, we need it right now. And in the absence, because the work is quit, we have a situation of a davar avud. So the Mishnah establishes the chazru bahem. At this point, the polim decided we're quitting before they even began the malacha. Now we have no one else. Is makum she'ein sham adam? There's no other possible poel to hire. And what he means is, let's say the original polim would be paid 10 per hour. No one out there is willing to take 10 per hour. So the only option, the only fallback position here from the Baal Bais' perspective is socher aleihem. He's got to hire other polim who are going to charge him an arm and a leg. And the reason for their exorbitant charge is because workers realize how desperate the Baal Bais is. They can literally rip him off and charge him whatever high price they demand. As a result, the Baal Bais has no choice but to pay that high price. And all this was a nezek that's caused to the Baal Bais by the workers who quit, chazu behem. And what is the Mishnah mean when it says socher aleihem? Obviously, the Baal Bais is going to hire these other workers at their high price, biyoker. But mekatzeitz mischarim shal rishonim aschum shahosif l'schar apolim hacherim. Now, it's any sort of payment that's due to the first poel who quit has to be reevaluated, reassessed. It's no longer the original binding. The original contract is no longer binding. Baal Bais will deduct from their salary any monies that he needs to offset the loss of paying the replacement workers the high, exorbitant fee that they're demanding. Now the Mishnah says that the Baal Bais has one other option, one other card up his sleeve, omat'on. He could somehow mislead the first worker, the first set of workers, and bring them back to do their work and stave off their decision to quit themselves, to quit. Now we're going to have to understand exactly how he tricks them and why it's allowed to trick them and exactly what amount of money he's going to pay them. That's going to come up later on in the sugya. Now, there's another point I wanted to make here. We said that since the poel quit and the Baal Bais has to find substitute poelim, that's why the original poel is held to some extent accountable. But we have to add that that's conditional on the fact that the Baal Bais went ahead and hired replacement poelim. If, on the other hand, he hasn't done so, then he's got to pay the full wages to the workers. And when we say that if he doesn't hire replacement poelim, he's got to pay the first poelim the full wage that he agreed with them, that applies even if the pishton, the flax that was soaking the water, is going to get ruined as a result. Now the Mishnah continues and says, "Asocher es ha'umnun, ha'umnin v'chazu behem, is yonam al tachtona." If the umnun quit And now the Uma wants to be paid at least for the amount of work that he did. Is Yaram al Tachtona. They get the lesser of two possible payments. In other words, on the one hand, they did a certain amount of work, and that we should prorate that work and decide how much they should get for that amount of hours of work. But on the other hand, they really didn't have full rights, and that may be an understatement, to quit in the middle of the job. So there's no reason why they should be paid full wages, meaning prorated. And that's what the Mishnah tries to work out over here. A pshara between two polar extremes. One polar extreme says, well, you guys quit, I don't want to pay you anything for your work. Even if you put in hours and hours of work, you never finish the day. The other extreme position is to say, well, we did X amount of hours of work, at least pay us prorated per hour for the X number of hours that we worked. So the Mishnah establishes Yadam al Tachtona. There are two possible variations, or shall we say, scenarios that might come about. Number one, is possible that the situation changed in the market in such a way that now that worker that was hired and quit was doing work which could bring in a lot of money as wages. And what happens is that sometimes the market takes a little time to catch up until it really realizes that, hey, you know, the Poles should be demanding higher wages. So that now the Baal HaBayis, as a result of the fact that the Poel quit, the Uman quit in the middle of the day, he's hard-pressed to find replacement workers to finish the job. Now the market has gone up. He's going to have to, he has no choice but to pay a much higher rate for hour of labor, per hour of labor. And now we have to ask ourselves the question, what happens with the first Paulim who quit their job, and now the market has changed in such a way that that same job that they were commissioned to do now brings in a much higher wage for a laborer who'll do that same job. So the Yoram al Tachtonit says to us that Bais is allowed to deduct from the wages that he agreed to pay the first workers who never finished that job in order to offset the loss of the higher rate that he's going to have to pay in order to hire Polim to finish the job. Because, as I said before, the going rate in the market has gone up for this class of work. So let's say, for example, the worker was hired to cut down, to harvest a certain volume of wheat, let's say a kum of wheat. And they would be paid for that job, so they agreed, 2 sloim. And again, 2 sloim is the exact equivalent. So if one sell has 4 dinarim, ishnei sloim is 8 dinarim. And the workers were meant to cut a certain, let's say harvest a certain kum, a certain amount of wheat. And when they did half the job, now, which for the second half of the job, to finish the kum, that would have cost, let's say, the equivalent of another 2 dinarim. Instead, in order to get Poland to do so, he's only able to get it at the price of a sella and a half, which is going to mean that we're talking about 6 dinarim, whereas the rest of the job should have been 4 dinarim. And here we have 2 possibilities. One possibility would be to prorate the work and pay the first workers 4 dinarim, and then the Baal HaBayis is going to suffer the loss because of the balance, he's going to have to pay 6 dinarim. Or alternatively, to only pay the first workers 2 dinarim, so that when the balance of the work, because of the higher price of workers, is now 60 dinar, the Baal Bayis ends up paying 8 dinar, which was the original price, the original wage that he was willing to pay. So that's in the case where the schirus goes up, and it would seem that yodam ala tachtona would mean that they can't demand prorating to be paid a full sela for the half of the work that they did. If, on the other hand, schirus polim depreciate, in other words, now he can get a better deal, so that, let's say, instead of the second half costing him 4 dinarim, it could cost him as little as 2 dinarim, in which case the first polim would like to be paid 6 dinarim. No, they can only demand 4 dinarim, which is half of what they originally were contracted for. So we have this principle called Yodam al HaTachtona. Now, on the top of Daf Ayin Vav, the Mishnah continues. Let's say the Baal Bayis decides to fire his workers midway. V'im Baal Bayis Chozer Bo, Yodam al HaTachtona. He now gets the lesser, he gets the raw end of the deal. Which means that, let's say, Schiris Polim now goes down, and yet he still has to pay the prorated the value, the equivalent of wages of what he originally agreed with them, even though now he's going to be able to finish the job at a cheaper price. Can't force the original Polim that he fired to take a cheaper price, a lower wage. But I think it goes even beyond that. If you look at Rashi, Divra Maschel V'im, Rashi says, Yitein lehem mashe lefi masha osu, v'im huzla meleches polim, al karchech yitein lehem kamashe posak. Rashi seems to indicate that he's got to pay, if I read this correctly, the full value, the full wage, chutz, but only deduct, what he's going to have to pay to finish the job. So even though they did half the job, which means if they were to be paid 8 dinrim, they should get no more than 4, but now if he can finish the job at 2, the second half, because the going rate for Poland has gone down, then he's going to pay the full 8 dinrim to the first for the first poel, and subtract simply the 2 dinarim in order to pay the second poel to finish the job. In effect, he's paying 6 dinarim to the first worker instead of paying them prorated 4 dinarim. Now the flip side, let's say Schirus Polim went up in price, then he cannot subtract from their wage at all. He would like to say, well, how can I pay you guys 4 out of 8 for doing half the job when I fired you, when it's going to cost me now 6 to finish the job? And that means I'm paying 12 dinarim. No, he has no right to say such a thing. He has no right to threaten to subtract from the prorated wage that he has to pay. Af shebishvil ligmar malach yitzach l'shan l'pol l'macherim sel v'chetzi. Now he's going to have to pay not only 4 dinarim to complete the job, but 6 dinarim. At the end of the day, he got the job done at 12 dinarim instead of the original, well, let me just work that out again. 4 and 4 is 8. Instead of paying 8 dinarim for the full job, he's going to spend 10 dinarim for the full job. So he's sustained the loss of 2 dinarim, half a sela, and the reason for that is because he had no right to fire the polim. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Yado al tachtona. Then the Mishnah says, Kol mishane yado al tachtona. And this is a psak like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, about a dyer who dyed the wool the wrong color. He was consigned to dye it red and he dyed it black. The black wool is worth considerably more than the raw wool that he originally was given by the Baal Bayis. But nevertheless, the Baal Bais is right to say, look, I commissioned you to paint this red, not black. Don't talk to me about the increase in its value on the market. I didn't pay you for the market. I didn't hire you for the market. This was not a retail in which I buy and sell at a profit. This was meant to be a sweater for my wife's birthday. Is Yadal HaTachtona, number one, it means that the Baal Bais doesn't have to pay the full wages because the Tzabah, the Uman, did not do what he had to do, what he was supposed to do, what he was commissioned to do. Number two, can the Uman, and this is again only going to review this against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds the Uman, once he closes the black, he's Kona B'Shin, he's a Gazel. Forget about that. We're talking about Rabbi Yehuda. He still retains his status as an Uman, he's not a Gazel. Can he demand, if not full wages, at least the increment in the value of the wool? I mean, the dyer, the Uman, was personally responsible for the wool going from 10 as natural wool sheared off the animal's back up to 50 as a painted, colored, dyed wool, albeit black, but wool that's dyed in a color that makes it very attractive. And it went up to 50. So the Poel, the Uman in this case, wants to say to the Baal Bais, at least pay me 40. To recognize the fact that I gave you all the shvach. The Baal Bais says, no, I'm not interested in shvach. No, can the poel now say, well, at least pay me for my expenditures and offset those losses? I spent money on your behalf. Here's your sweater back. It's worth 50 where you gave it to me. It was 10. Pay me at least to offset my losses. So there are two actual figures here. One figure, one sum would represent the shvach. That's 40. The other sum is the yitziah, the hotzos, that amount of money which the Uman had to shell out in order to dye the wool black. And Yadal HaTachtona means the lesser of those two figures is exactly what the Uman is able to collect. So if the shvach, which is, we said it at 40, is greater than the investment of samamonim, of whatever other materials he needed in order to dye the wool, then the lower price is the hotzos, the yitziah. That's what the Baal Bais would have to pay to the Uman to offset his loss. If, however, the shvach in this case is a lower sum than the hotzos, let's say the hotzos were 10 and the shvach was only 8, then he pays the lower fee, which is the shvach. So he always, the Baal Bais always pays the lower fee, and the poel from his perspective gets that money which is least attractive to him, and that's because the poel changed what he was consigned to dye it red, and instead he dyed it black. And then the Mishnah concludes with a similar kind of principle called a chozer bo yadal HaTachtona. Here we're talking about someone who sells a field and the buyer, or perhaps the seller, decides to renege on the deal and invalidate the deal. So the one who took that step to invalidate the deal, he is yado al HaTachtona. And for this, we're going to have to see the sugya later on. I have a summary here of the Bar Tanur and the Tiferes Yisrael, and they interpret the Mishnah like one possibility in the Gemara later on, that the person sold his field at 1,000 zuz. The buyer, from his part, pulled out, laid down on the table 200 zuz as a down payment, a first payment, and that's 20% of the total sum of money that he's got to pay. And then Chazer Bo HaMokher Olokeach, one of them decides to renege out of the agreement. So the one who reneges and terminates this agreement, or more precisely, avoids this agreement, is the one who gets the Yadal HaTachtona. We'll see how that applies in this case. Now the Gemara says, Chazu ze baze loktani elahitu ze ezze. The name, the word Chazar doesn't appear at the beginning of our Mishnah. It doesn't seem like anyone is terminating, either quitting or getting fired. It seems like Hitu Zedze, the Atu Polim Adodi, that the Polim, who always get the plural in our Mishnah, like the Polim are tricking the other Polim. Or one Poel is tricking, is misleading the other Poel. Hechidomi, what's the case? So the Gemara answers, the Omer Le Balabayis, Zeal Ogerli Paulim. In other words, the Balbais hires an agent to recruit Paulim, workers for him. And Ozal Iu Viata Inhu, this agent, we'll call him the Shliach, the middleman, he went ahead and he misled the Paulim. And the Mishnah is going to tell us that if there are no other Polim to replace the first Polim, then there's going to be Taromis. Hechi Dami. The Gemara again now wants to get more specific. E the Amarle Balabais Biarba. The Balabais is willing to pay for this job 4 zuzim for the day. And that's what he told the agent. The Ozel Iu Amaluhu Bitlos, but the agent decided to get a better deal here for the Balbais, and he told the Paulim that the Balbais told him to hire at the ceiling rate of 3 zuzim for a day. And on this, the Mishnah says that there's nothing but Taromis. And the Gemara now says that that's impossible. Why? Taromis, my avidite, sover v'kibel. When the agent presented this offer, again, he was not true about it, but he falsified the truth and said that the Balbais wants you at 4 zuzim for a day. I'm sorry. The Balbais wants you at 3 zuzim to the day. Right? He's trying to whittle down the price. Now, the Polim at that moment in time have freedom of choice. They realize that they have an offer here for a lower price of three dinrim, or 3 zuzim. So what happens at this point? Well, the Gemara says, Sover v'kibol. The ball is in the court of the Polim, and in this case, they decided that they're willing to work for 3. Once they do so, then if the going rate is 3, and they heard what the agent said, and they say, count us in, then there's no taromas here. Again, you might ask what motivated the agent to change the terms of the agreement. If the Balbais told him explicitly he's willing to pay 4 zuzim, why didn't he pass that on to the Polim? I don't know, maybe he's trying to get recognition in his work, that he's doing great work on behalf of the Balbais. Maybe he'll get a promotion. I don't know. But be that as it may, Sarav Akibel means that the Polim willingly accepted that wage at 3 for day, and therefore they can have no claim against the agent in the middle, the shliach, and it's not even taromis. You can't even hold a grudge, no complaint whatsoever, because the going rate is 3. You were presented with that going rate. Nobody misled you. You decided to accept the deal, the offer, and that's it. Now, from the language of the Gemara, Sover v'kibel, you get the impression that when the Balabais told the agent that he's willing to pay 4 zuzim for the day, that itself has an element of commitment to it. If not for the fact that the Poel was Sover v'kibel at 3, the Poel could have held the Balabais responsible and accountable for the original agreement that he indicated he was willing to get into, and that's 4. And that might apply even if no kinyan was made. So that needs further analysis. And anyway, the Gemara says that since the possibility of 4 and 3, meaning Balabais told him 4 and he, the agent, told the Poel 3, that cannot constitute taromis, then let's try the flip side. The E the Omer Le Balabayis Bitlosa. Instead of the Balabai saying four, he said three. The Ozel Yu Omer Lu Barba. And for some strange reason, the middleman, this agent, if you will, offered the poll in four. Now, that's a funny kind of situation. I don't know what motivated him to do so, but moreover, he, Lechori, cannot jack up the price. He was consigned to find someone at the rate of three. And let's assume that's the going rate for that kind of labor in that geographic location with those climatic conditions for a day's work, etc., etc. And that's what the Baal Bais was willing to pay. Now what happens? Can the shliach decide to be mechayev the Baal Bais to pay an extra zuz? Absolutely not. A flat no. Maybe the shliach should be paying that extra zuz out of his own pocket. I don't know. Let's see what the Gemara says. If he told them, you know what, I am paying you your wages, then in such a case, the shliach would have to pay the four zuzin from his own pocket, even though, again, the workers did nothing on behalf of this agent, the shliach. I mean, the work they did was in the field of the mishaleach. But nevertheless, since the shliach made that declaration, and scharchem alai, it doesn't matter whether he gained at all one penny's worth of benefit, he still has a commitment to pay them. Disanyo, we have a price that says, asochas apoel lasos bishalo, veher eyu bishel chavero. This is a very strange case. The poel was hired by so-and-so to work in the field of somebody else, which means that the one who hired the worker gains nothing, benefits nothing whatsoever from the work of the poel, but he committed himself to pay their wages, is no sein lo schara misholem v'chozer v'notu balabais masheh enehu. He, the socher, has to pay the entire sum of money that he committed himself to pay when he said Schar Kam Alai. Can he get some sort of rebate on his money to cut down his losses? And that's where the Braisa adds Masha Maneu, that he has a right to go back to the owner of the field and collect Hanoah. In other words, whatever benefits the Baal Bais got from that Malacha. So this is all the sugya of Yored, the Sof Sada Shal Chaver, etc., etc. But what's no get in Yanenu is that if, in the case of someone who hires workers to work in somebody else's field, that agent took upon himself to pay for the work, even though the work doesn't benefit at all. It's in Yenem's field. And that's going to impact on our Mishnah, because it's impossible to say that in our Mishnah the agent, the shliach, jacked up the price above that which the Baal Bais was indeed offering him and said, Scharchem alai, forget about Taromis, Adarab, the poel is going to be overjoyed. He's going to be paid by the shliach, by the go-between here, for Zuzim. So that's a great profit. So Mimanavshach, we don't have a scenario in which it becomes taromis, because again, if the Baal Bais said four, and for some reason the shliach reduced it to three, since the going rate is three, and the poelim accepted three, there's no complaint against the shliach. But if, on the other hand, the Baal Bais said, I'm willing to pay three, and he, the agent, went ahead as a shliach, and he said, no, he said four. He's willing to pay you four. So in such a case, if he said schar chamalai, then he has to pay, the agent has to pay out of pocket. And Lo Tzrich Limar says, the Omer le schar chamal Baal Bais. Here's a funny kind of a case. The agent tells the poel to go and collect four zuzim from the Baal HaBayis. The Baal HaBayis said, hire him at three zuzim. So the Gemara asks the main question here, V'lechse polim hechi mitagre, what's the going rate in the market for polim of this sort for these number of hours? If they pay four zuzim, then if that's the going rate, the Baal HaBayis has to pay them exactly four zuzim. That's the benefit that he got. And once again, we're still a little bit stuck because even though the Baal HaBayis in his discussion with the Shliach said, I'll pay three, at the end of the day he has to pay four because that's the going rate for Paul. Lo tzricha, finally the Gemara comes up with a scenario, a possible structure within which we can understand the taromas of our Mishnah, the ika de mitgar biar, bavis ika mitgar bi tlosa. There are some polim who would settle for three, other polim will play hard to get until they get an agreement at four. The amru lei, and now that the Baal HaBayis said three, but the poll was notified by the agent that the Baal HaBayis kaviyachol is going to pay four. In such a case, the amru lei, ilav di amrulam biarba, tarchinu matagrinon biarba. You really caused us a loss because you told us that the Baal HaBayis is willing to pay four, when in fact he's only willing to pay three. Had we known this, we would have gotten someone out there in the marketplace who would be willing to pay us four. So if we summarize at this point, we do have an understanding of a case where Hitu Zed said that one poel was misled the other poel, and there's taromis. And that's going to be the case where the Baal HaBayis was willing to pay three. The poel said that the Baal HaBayis is going to take four. And we cannot force the Baal HaBayis to pay that four, because there are poelim that would do that work at three. On the other hand, the poelim have a complaint against the agent because they say we could have pushed this off until we finally found someone who's willing to pay us four, because there are those who are desperate will pay four out in the shuk. So although this is not a monetary claim against the shliach, there's no lawsuit to sue the shliach for damages, but he does have to guarantee that he should live up to a higher ethical standard and ask mechila from the poelim, because he really messed them up. They could have easily have hired themselves out at four. Now, Ibai Semi, there's another way of interpreting our Mishnah. Hachav Baal HaBayis Askino, we're talking about someone who owns fields of his own, but yet he hires himself out to work in the fields of others. That's a little bit degrading to his great sense of self. But he's willing to do it if he'll get a premium price for his work, if a unique opportunity will come by. And what happened now? The Amule, the Polim, turn to the Shliach, and they say the following. You told us that the Baal HaBayis was going to pay four. Based on that statement, we kind of humiliated ourselves to go out and work in someone else's field, when we're fancy hoi polloi plantation owners. And he loved the amila barba, havi zili bi milsol li itagure. It would have been a zilzal and below our covet to go ahead and work ourselves in someone else's field in order to get paid for the malacha that you do for someone else. In other words, basically what the Baal HaBayis is saying is, I'm not going to work for someone else and lower myself unless it's a real opportunity in which I'm getting way above the market that I'm not embarrassed about. So if indeed the market is three, and as you promised us, the Baal HaBayis is going to pay us four, then and only then were we willing to take on the work of the Baal HaBayis. But now we find out that you misled us. And in truth, the Baal HaBayis is not willing to pay four. He's only willing to pay three. We have suffered this kind of zilzal, this psychological humiliation. of doing back-breaking work in the hot sun in the fields of Vienna. And that's called taromis. Iboy Seima. Now the Gemara offers another possibility to explain how there were Polim who fooled Polim. Leolim bepolim askinon. We're not talking about field owners. We're talking about Polim, hard-working laborers. The Amri Lei, they have a tarumas against the Shliach. Came in the Amrit law in Piarba. Once you told us that the Balbais would be willing to pay for Zuzim, Tarchinon, Viavdin Loch, Avidna, Shapirta. We worked hard and long hours equivalent to four. We didn't want to take any advantage of the four Zuzim that were being transferred into our bank account. And their complaint is, what, I'm going to be paid 3 zuzim for work on the market that certainly deserves to be paid at 4 zuzim? And the reason why I gave that extra work and the high quality was because I had assumed that I was going to be paid 4, and at that premium price, I would offer premium work. So the Gemara says, let's say Avidatayu. Let's take a look and check out the work that they did. Isn't in fact the superior quality work that's worth 4 zuzim? And maybe if so, they should be able to claim and demand that the Baal Bais pay them 4 zuzim. The Gemara says, Berifka, they were digging ditches around the city or around the field, and we can't really see. It's an Ein HaMalachta Nikeres. So the Gemara says, Rifka and Rami made the Yodeh. After they dig that ditch to surround the field, you know, we can go out and see the final product and check if it's high quality. And the Gemara answers, the Moli Maya Velo Yadia. We're talking about Azai Hechatimtza, where the ditches that they dug, these workers, are now filled with water from the rain. And there's no way we can see the quality of their work. It's being covered over by the waters. Iboy Yisem, and now the Gemara makes full swing back to the original interpretation. The Omerle Palabayas Arba. So the Baal Bais was in fact willing to pay 4 zuzim, and the Polim whittled him down to 3 zuzim. Uda Ka'amrit, and your counter argument is there's no room for tumors because Sober Vekibel, they heard that price of 3 and they decided, yes, it's worth it for us to commit ourselves to do the job at 3. The Amri Lei, less Loch. And you read this, I think, with an inflection with a question mark. Less luck, did you not learn? Al timna tov mi baila, the pasuk in Mishlei, that says that if something good is going to happen here, don't prevent it from happening. And the schar that the Baal Bais was willing to pay for, why are you holding that back from us? That's called timna tov lebailov. And Rashi tells us a pasuk in Mishlei. He doesn't tell us much more than that. But if you look at the Marshal, he asks the question, Al Timna Tov Mi Balov. It should have said, Al Timna Tov Mi Poalim. Because we're talking about Polim that are being denied a tremendous parnosa. Avala Bailim Asatuva. Now, had the pasuk said Al Timna Tov Mi Poalim, then it would make sense that we could derive from this pasuk that if the Baal Bais is willing to pay 4, why did the agent mess up the Polim such that instead of getting 4, they're going to end up getting 3? But instead, the pasuk says Al Timna Tov Mi Baalov. Why that pasuk? Why not Mi Poalim? The nusach pasuk is a little bit difficult. So the Marshal explains that if it was just Al Timna Tov Mi Poalim, you might say, well, what about Tov Mi Bailim? You know, he's caught betwixt. Yeah, he might want to do a good deal for the Poalim and get them 4, but he wants to, you know, reduce what the Bailim are going to have to pay from 4 to 3. So I don't know exactly why that's Al Timna Tov Mi Poalim. But the Pasuk wants to say Al Timna Tov Mi Baalav, that the Tov here is for the Bailim. The Bailim agreed to pay 4. And that's good. And now, once the Baal Megala Das that they're willing to pay that high price, the agent should have notified the
poel, and that would have given the Baal HaBayis the tov that he wants to do here in paying the full four zuz that he had agreed to pay. Okay, Rabosai, I know we didn't finish we didn't reach the goal that we wanted to, but we did discuss a lot of inyanim, and Imritzen will pick it up in the next year. So we're up to the word Peshitta.